Matthew chapter 5. I shall try to fill out what I began to tell you about this morning. The references are our Savior Himself telling us why He came into the world. The ones I gave you this morning were quite plain and understandable. Tonight, some of them may be a little more difficult to understand, but let's see just what they say. As to the negative and the positive, in Matthew chapter 5, at verse 17, again, he states it this way, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law, till all things be accomplished." Now chapter 15. This Syrophoenician woman has come to the Lord Jesus and His disciples beseeching mercy, and the Savior says nothing to her at first, and then they come and they pester His disciples, and in verse 23 they say to Him, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But He answered and said, "I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, help me." And He answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." But she said, "Yea, Lord, for even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it done unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was healed from that hour. Now this strange one again in chapter 10. I'll quote the one that we're familiar with most of the time, but listen to this one that is appropriate at Christmas as any other verse. Verse 34. "Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." How could the Savior ever say such a thing? "For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Strong words. Now, in John chapter 9, verse 39. This morning, I read in chapter 12 that the Lord Jesus said, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." But listen to this, verse 39. "And Jesus said, for judgment came I into this world, that they that see not may see, and that they that see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees who were with Him heard these things and said unto Him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see. Your sin remaineth." And chapter 18. Verse 37. Pilate is trying to ascertain who Jesus is, and he asks him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end have I been born, and to this end am I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And let's read one other verse in chapter 20. Chapter 20. Our Savior is now appearing to his disciples after his resurrection from the dead. And verse 20 says, "And when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said unto them, Peace be unto you, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the words that your Son uttered. We confess that some of them give us peace, and some of them give us pause, and some of them confuse us until we think them through, and let us know the great variety of the sayings that we have read from thy word this night. We pray that we shall have a better understanding of them at the end than at the beginning, and we shall see further just why your Son came into the world. We are thankful that he told us, and we pray, our Father, that we shall take to heart the truth that he has revealed to us. Who would know unless he had told us? But he has told us, and we thank you. So bless us in our study this night. For the blessings of the day thus far, we thank you, and in faith we look to thee for blessings for the rest of the day. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You've seen how often our Savior says, "Think not that I came." And in Matthew 5, it is the most important reason that he gives us not to think. He said, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill." What the world would like to think is this, that our Savior is an imposter, and that when he came upon the scene, there were ever so many prophecies in the law in the Old Testament that spoke of him, and some of these things contradicted what he was to do on earth and what he could do on earth. And the solution to that was simple. When I come, I will destroy the law and the prophets that prophesy of the Messiah that is going to be this and do that. And so what I'll do is destroy all of these references in the law and the prophets. The Lord Jesus said, "I did not come to do that." And that is the challenge to the world, that all of these references that we've heard so often, the Lord Jesus himself said, "I came to fulfill and not to destroy." And so persuaded was he as to the inspiration of the Word of God and the fulfillment of the Word of God, that he said, "Not one jot or tittle shall pass away till all things be fulfilled." And so when our Savior is in the world, you and I do not know all of the Old Testament references concerning him, but he knew all of those references, and he said, "Not one of them is going to pass away until all be fulfilled." And let me give you one brief one, because it is simply this, that our Savior came, he said, "All is going to be fulfilled," there was a scripture that had not been fulfilled, and he was near the moment of death. And he said, I thirst, because it said that they gave him vinegar and gall to drink, and that had not been fulfilled. And when he said that, they took a sponge, and they filled it with vinegar, and they put it to his lips. And when he had tasted, when he had drunk, he said, it is finished. So understand that our Savior knew everything that was foretold of him in the Old Testament, and he saw to it that everything was fulfilled that was written of him. And so in the coming day, when we get to heaven, he may do for us what he did for those two on the road to Emmaus. He will open all the scriptures and expound unto those that are listening the things concerning himself. Our Savior came not to destroy the law of the prophets. He came to fulfill, and he did fulfill. Now this verse, this is very strange, because we are so familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the world. But in Matthew chapter 15, our Savior says this. He said, I was not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Indeed, at the end, when his ministry is near completion, he sends his disciples into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. But at first, he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we can thank God that the Lord had made promises to the sheep of Israel through Abraham, their father, and these promises were going to be fulfilled. And so the Lord Jesus came to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. And now we can say, since Christ's ministry has come to an end, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But at that time, when the Syrophoenician woman came to him, he said to her, it is not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And so the woman outsmarted the Lord Jesus, outthought him for this reason. She said, that is correct, Lord. You can't take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, but you can take some crumbs and throw them to the dogs. And the Lord Jesus acknowledged defeat, and he said, woman, great is thy faith. Go thy way. Thy daughter is healed. And so here is the Savior who knew at first that he did not come to preach to the Gentiles. He spoke to only certain ones. But later, as his disciples were bidden to go and preach the gospel to every creature, so the Lord Jesus sent them into all the world. All right, now this verse, and it's most important. Most of the time, we read in Luke chapter 2 that the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You say, that's the Christmas message that I know. That's why Jesus came, to give peace and goodwill toward men. But the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, think not that I came to send peace upon the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. How can you reconcile those two things? You can do it very easily. That when Christ comes and preaches the truth, there is going to be a division among men. Some will hear the truth and embrace the truth. And some will hear the truth and reject the truth. And so in that sense, Christ came not to send peace, not to give a message that everybody will embrace and that will set at enmity not one person against another, but the Lord Jesus came to give a message that would be a sword that would divide households, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, daughters-in-law and mothers-in-law. And the Lord Jesus knew that. And this is of the greatest importance when we are witnessing to men. Suppose there are young ones, but let us say they're of age. here are young men, and they have a certain religion, and that religion is false, and it will send them to hell. And if you tell them about your religion, of whom Christ is the center, and they trust Christ as Savior, then there's going to be a division in that family. You're going to break up that family. The father loves his son, and the son loves the father. But if this message comes, and the father says, I'm having nothing to do with Jesus, but the son says, Father, I'm trusting the Lord Jesus as my Savior. The Lord Jesus said that he came to do that very thing. He did not come and say, well, do not listen to me. Just stay with your father, love him, obey him. The Lord Jesus said, if you love father or mother more than me, you are not worthy of me. And so in that sense, yes, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the message that he gave is a message of peace. And if we as sinners come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as Savior, that will be the peace. But when we do it, and some other member of the family will not have Christ as Savior, then he comes and he sends a sword, because there is the division of that family. And Christ said, I came knowing full well what shall happen when I come and preach my gospel of salvation. So we have to take this to heart, and with wisdom, with discretion, we have to preach the gospel. But if it ever comes to the time that we are preaching, and a young man or a young woman says, if I believe this message, it will destroy my home, my father, my mother. They will disown me. Are we to tell them, then reject the gospel and do not receive Christ as Savior? Of course not. You tell them, you have to make that decision. The Lord Jesus foresaw that something like this would happen. And so he says that he came to send a sword. But I promise you this, though there will be enmity and disagreement and hatred and disowning in the family of one who trusts Christ as Savior, I promise you that in his heart there will be the peace that passeth understanding. Christ came not to send peace, but to send a sword. Another thing, and this is similar, because we see what has happened in John chapter 9, the sword has entered between this man who was born blind, who was in the synagogue, but now he is showing his allegiance toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and he insists that the Lord Jesus is the Savior. And they are accusing him. We say, we know that this man is a sinner. This is what we know. He said, whether he is a sinner or no, I cannot tell you. He said, but this much I know. Whereof I was blind, now I see. And he said this, you keep asking me, where did he come from? What about this man? You mean you do not know where he came from? Since the world began, it's never been heard that anybody opened the eyes of the blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And then those that controlled the synagogue said, you were altogether born in sins, and they cast him out. Now what happened? Christ came, and he sent the sword. Now listen, for judgment came I into this world, that they that see not may see, and that those who see may become blind. Here is this man that was physically blind, but he acknowledged that he had need, not only physically but spiritually. And Christ, to this blind man, gave light. Now spiritually, there were the others who said, we see, we know God, we understand the way of salvation. The Lord Jesus said, you do not know the way of salvation. You say, you see. You are blind. That is why I came. He came to blind those that said they saw, but they did not see. And he came to give sight to those who confessed that they were blind and did not know the way of salvation. He said, for them I give sight. And so for judgment came I into the world. To do what? To do the same thing in John 9 that he said he came to do. in Matthew chapter 10 to send a sword to divide between those who will receive him in the Jewish synagogue and those who will not receive him. And when this man professed faith in Christ and steadfastly maintained allegiance to him, they cast him out and said, "You were altogether born in sin." But the great consolation is this. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and it said, Jesus found him. And he said to him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And he said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe?" And he said, "You have both seen him, and he it is who speaketh unto thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Now, it was the peace of God, the serenity of God that filled his soul, and yet these others who thought that they saw, they were blinded and they had no peace. And if they never trusted Christ, his Savior, they remained blind and in darkness. And Christ said, "My mission on earth was to divide mankind that way." The Lord Jesus would like nothing better than for the whole world to trust him as Savior. But he says, if you will not have me as Savior, then you are on the left side. And if you will trust me as Savior, you are the sheep on the right side. This teaching goes all through the Scripture. He came not to send peace, but a sword. He wants peace for all, but the sword is the truth of God. And he insists on preaching that truth of God, however painful, however destructive that sword may be between father and son, mother and daughter, one who is of this religion and one who refuses to leave that religion. The Lord Jesus said, "I've come to send a sword." Now he said this. He said in chapter 18, "Not only am I a king, Pilate, but I want you to know that I came to earth for the reason that I was to bear witness to the truth." How important. Look sometime at all those references that speak about bearing witness to the truth. Let me give you an example of it. Our Savior has come upon the scene, and men are questioning about him. He is a good man. He's a bad man. He speaks the truth. He speaks lies. His healing comes from God. He heals by the power of Beelzebub. So here is questioning concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist comes and he bears witness to the truth. And he tells who Jesus is. He says, "I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the laces of his thongs." He says, "He that cometh after me is before me, because he was before me." He said, "I tell you that this man is the Son of God." Now that's bearing witness to the truth. And the Lord Jesus said, "I came to bear witness to the truth." And even though it made enemies that eventually resulted in his death, the Lord Jesus always bore witness to the truth. When they said, the leaders of the synagogue, "Are we blind?" He said, "Of course you are. You say we see." He said, "Your sin remaineth." He had to tell the truth. When it came to John the Baptist, the Savior bore witness. He came to bear witness to the truth. He said, "He was a burning and shining light. There has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist among all the prophets." So the Lord Jesus bore witness to the truth. And when it came to all the teachings of God, man would have perverted all of these teachings, would distort them, but the Lord Jesus would come and correct them. A simple one. They said, "Rabbi, is it lawful for a man to put away a woman for every cause? What do you think?" And the Lord Jesus said, "There is only one reason that a man can put away a woman, and that is because of fornication." And they are asking, "Well, why then did Moses tell us to write her a bill of divorcement?" Jesus said, "Because of your hardness of heart, he permitted you to do this, but from the beginning, it was not so." You see what our Savior came to do? He came to bear witness to the truth, whatever the truth was. Though the whole nation was grounded in truth that was in error, the Lord Jesus would come and say, "You are wrong. God made man, male and female. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And whatever teaching the Jews had that was contrary to what God intended them to understand by it, the Lord Jesus came and he bore witness to the truth. Now, you would think that the matter would end, but the very thing that God gave his Son to do, and he did it, he finished the work that his Father gave him to do twice. In John 17 and in John chapter 20, the Lord Jesus says this. He says, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Isn't that remarkable? Christ said, I came to bear witness to the truth. Now listen to John 20, which says, as the Father hath sent me, I have sent you. Listen carefully to Acts 1:8. The Lord Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Two things. I told you this morning that the Lord Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. And the Lord Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. As the Father sent Christ, and Christ completed his work, now the Son has sent us, and we are to take up where he left off. And now that the Spirit is guided into all truth, and we have the full revelation of God, we are to go and bear witness to the truth. And no matter how respectable and what reputation a denomination or a man may have, if this man is not of God, we are to bear witness to the truth. The Lord Jesus did. And no matter how devoted this man is to his family and to his religion, we must go and tell them the truth, because Christ came to send a sword upon the earth, and you and I are to see the preciousness of the gospel and to see its importance to such a degree that a family should be destroyed if one will have Christ and one will not have Christ. But I say that with great caution, and so use wisdom and discretion when you tell the truth of God, but we are to be his witnesses. I say that, but at the first, the example was not discretion at all. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said to them, you have become murderers of the Lord Jesus Christ, him being delivered up by the counsel and foreknowledge of God, you by the hands of lawless men they crucify and slay. That is the sword that they send. And so some of the Jews forsook all the traditions and the synagogue and the temple, and they came and they trusted Christ as Savior, and they became his followers. And so what Christ came to do, as much as we are able, we are to come to do. So think over all of those things that God sent him to earth for, and by his grace, let us do those things as well. Now that's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you have given us this ministry of reconciliation. You have told us that we are ambassadors for Christ. And your Son has said, as the Father sent me, even so have I sent you. How great an honor, our Father. How great a responsibility. Lord, thou dost know if we are aware of the gravity of the situation, that he that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Lord, let us be prepared to tell the truth, whatever the consequence might be, because if you have not the Son, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Let us know that. And so, Father, let us be faithful in being witnesses of the truth as your Son was. And let us have the joy of bringing that peace to men, goodwill to men, by telling them the truth concerning Jesus Christ. Help us to be good witnesses and faithful witnesses to you as your Son was, our Father, we pray. In his name, amen. meeting is over.